I really need to speak this thing because I think it's the whole next step for this church, the kind of a missing point. And then I thought, man, in my current state of mind, I'm not sure I could even do it or deliver it or anything like that. And so I decided last night, and I just printed out a bunch of choruses. I was going to come up here, sit down here with my guitar, and just sing some songs. And then this morning, I woke up. I mean, there's a reason there's no PowerPoint, because I did give them some scriptures to put on there. But this is basically what my notes look like. The red is scripture, and the rest is, you know, my notes, which is those things in the middle. And then what we're going to talk about today is the Spirit-driven church. We're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's another kicker. I was thinking yesterday, before I kind of got to last night and thought, okay, not really going to probably do that. I was thinking that I would talk to Derek, because I thought for this one, the youth probably ought to stay in. And I had no idea, because I didn't plan on doing this, that it would turn out that the youth were staying in. I'm going to go confirmation on that, right? So when we talk about the Spirit-driven church, also there's this thing that happened last night. That wasn't the only thing that happened. Some of you guys know that I have a neck problem. They want to operate on it, and it's from going through the windshield of the van a lot of years ago. It's quite painful at times, been fairly painful lately. Well, one of the things I do when I'm kind of, and there's a good kind of sad, you know, I mean, I know that, for instance, Leroy is in heaven, but it's a good kind of sad to just say, I miss my friend, you know, I love him dearly. So I was just in that mood, and sometimes it's okay to be sad. You know, we just, a friend is, you know, gone. And the other thing that happened, started my car, and it's on KBGN radio. It started playing this song about heaven and all this other stuff. I just went, wow, okay, cool. But last night I was working on a side-by-side in my garage, because one of the things I do when I'm in that mood is I just tinker on something. I can't just sit down. I got to tinker on something. So there's this spare tire thing up on the very top where the spare tire carrier is. Well, I put the spare tire up there. I was standing up on the rear bumper. It's a little bar back there. And the lugs are not going to work where it mounts onto it. So I figure I have to modify it. So I pull the thing up like this, and I'm holding it. Well, right about there, I slid off the thing. And I went down off the bumper, and I looked down because there was a battery charger right there. And I was actually, these things kind of slow down in time when these things happen. I saw the battery charger. I moved aside, and I thought, I landed on my feet, and I thought, man, I did that good. You know, I missed the battery charger. And right about then, slam on my head with the spare tire. So I literally walked around, just kind of dazed and went, okay, I might be going out, so I need to go lean on something, you know. Fortunately, it was the rubber part that hit me, but still, it's a 60-pound tire. So it was just like, you know, oh, and then I went, wait a minute, my neck feels pretty good. And it's a true story. It's a true story. It was just like, because I've been having a bad week, and I thought, if this is the Lord saying, be healed. Just go, okay, whatever. You're just like, but I do have a bit of a headache, however. We're just, you know, there's so many things to praise the Lord for. And we have, these guys have a granddaughter that was very sick and is doing well now, and we thank the Lord for that. There's a lot of things to be thankful for, and continue to pray for Candy's healing and her attitude. So something else she wrote me last night and said, the operation went great. And I wrote her back and says, you know, most people just don't get excited about that kind of stuff. But okay, no, she's awesome. Well, a lot of years ago, Rick Warren wrote the song Purpose Driven Church. It was a big deal, kind of everybody's reading. I can't even remember if I ever read the book, but I remember when it was a big deal. And I'm a purpose guy, right? I like to have goals. I'm a kind of by nature a purpose guy. Now, one of the dangers there, and it kind of happened to him, is he got into a lot of various purposes, which led him to getting to an unhealthy level of ecumenical stuff, and it kind of led him off in a kind of a bad path. And there's a danger in that. And I would argue that, yes, we should certainly have purpose. I have no problem with that. But we need to be a Spirit-driven church, and not a purpose-driven church, because otherwise you end up needs-driven instead of God-driven. And it's really easy for us to fall into that trap. Well, to be a Spirit-driven church, we kind of need the Holy Spirit. That's a thing. And you know what? People are kind of afraid of the Holy Spirit. I know that's kind of weird, but, well, actually it's not weird. Actually, if you're in sin, maybe it's good you're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because he's going to reveal all things. He's going to come in and he's going to show you stuff. And it may be things that you don't want to deal with. And in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be emptied of self. And we don't really like to be emptied of self. And one of the greatest hindrances to the infilling of the Holy Spirit is that we want to not be emptied of self. And one of the things we do is we come before him and we see his power and we see what he can do. And remember, we talk a lot here about how the church is the only organization I know of that never analyzes itself by its bottom line. Well, the bottom line being souls saved, discipleship, worship of the Lord, all of those things matter. And I think we agree with that. We say, okay, that we really need to look at our bottom line. But then the next question, if you get to the place where you're going to analyze your bottom line, the next question is, what needs to change? Okay, so you actually have to go to that next step. It occurred to me last night, right? Now, when I say infilling of the Holy Spirit or baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of people that go, well, there's people on a couple sides of that. You know, one side's going, oh man, he's going to be one of those completely wacky charismatic dudes. I was once. And the other one is this, this whole, he finally got it, you know. So I would encourage you not to go to either of those extremes, at least until we get done teaching on this. So Acts 8, 14 through 17 says this. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And Acts 19, 1 through 7 says this, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Here's the thing. They believed, they were baptized, and yet it wasn't assumed that they had received the Holy Spirit. That's an important thing to put out, because a lot of people argue with that and immediately will go at you and go, well, you get the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Folks, the Holy Spirit is active in your life before you're saved. That's how you get saved. Okay. So there is no question you have the Holy Spirit as believers in Christ Jesus, because he sent that comforter. But there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit that was not assumed. You know what I think about when Peter's speaking to all these guys and it says, it'll say, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke to the crowd, and thousands were added to their number that day. Okay, well, Peter was not some kind of fabulous orator. In fact, can't imagine they even had a good sound system for thousands of people. And yet thousands of people could say, now I understand this because I believe that I seek the Spirit in my life regularly. But there is that moment sometimes, even when I'm preaching or you're doing worship, and man, all of a sudden it's just overflowing and overwhelming, and it's there. So I want to establish right out of the gate, because then some people say, oh no, you're saying you don't get the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Guys, the Holy Spirit works in all kinds of different levels in our life and all kinds of different ways. And what we can take absolutely from these two scriptures is that they did not assume that they were filled with the Holy Spirit just because they had believed and been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It was also a real thing, because if you remember Simon the sorcerer, he's following him around. I think I might be going to talk about that scripture a little bit later. I can't even remember what I have now, because I wasn't going to do this today. So, Simon the sorcerer is following him around, and he asks for money to buy that ability to baptize people in the Holy Spirit, as if it was he. We're not the ones baptizing the Holy Spirit, that's the Lord. But he does use people. He says Paul laid hands on him and they received the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. Simon asked for that. I just noticed this last night. Simon asked for that ability after he was a believer. You know, it says he believed and he followed them and he was right there. And yet he asked for this ability. And I just think that's kind of funny, because, you know, when we get saved, we're still a little messed up in the head. You know, we're still, and you know, I'm probably still a little messed up in the head. But the reason I want to bring that out is this was something tangible enough that Simon wanted to buy the ability to do it. And that's significant because they're talking now to believers and they're saying, have you received the Spirit since you believed? So I just want to establish right out of the gate that it was not assumed that just because they were a believer, just because they've been baptized in water, it was not assumed that they had received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I honestly think just those two sections of scripture I just read makes that an inarguable point. I honestly do. People still argue it, but I believe it's an inarguable point. So now, a little bit of history, how this all kind of went wrong and why people go, oh, way back when, in the old days in the church, there was big Methodist revivals. And Methodist revivals, all kinds of revivals, right? Well, the Methodists had these revivals, and they taught this thing that they called the second definite work of grace, only what they didn't call it that. That's not what it was called originally. You know what it was called originally? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what it was called. So then what happened was, over time, the Pentecostal movement took off from the, basically, the Methodist movement was a huge thing at the time. It was the thing that was rocking and rolling. And the Pentecostal church took off, and the way they took off is largely at the Azusa Street revivals was a big part of it. And because when the Holy Spirit fell on people, a bunch of them spoke in tongues. And so then, I'm not disputing that, but what they did is they did what human beings do. And here's what human beings do. If you guys have problems with your neck, now you come over to my house and we'll drop a spare tire on your head. See, this is what human beings do. God does something and we institutionalize it. We go, okay, this is it. Here we have it. So this thing came up of this huge controversy about the gift of tongues. And guys, the gift of tongues is in Scripture. And for those who think it's other human languages, the Bible says, he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. In a corporate group, it says you should temper that because unless you have an interpreter, you're just jabbering. Now, that's different than when you're just working in a gift of a prayer language. But folks, you can't be afraid of the things of God. You just can't. So I'll say all that, and I'm not going to go into a study on that, but I will tell you that we do have one if you want to see it, that you don't always speak in tongues when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you look at the Scriptures and in the Word, there's times when they prophesied. There's times when they doesn't list anything, actually, that they're doing there. But here's the thing. God can do anything in that moment. He really can. And if we're afraid of that part, then a lot of times we might miss something that God has for us. So anyway, the Methodists are going along, and the Pentecostals take off, and the Methodists say, man, we don't want to be anything like them Pentecostals. Okay, they're a bunch of crazy people. So we're going to stop saying baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they're really big on saying that baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. Plus, they say you have to speak in tongues all the time. So we're going to go to something else. You know what we're going to use? We're going to use two things, second definite work of grace and sanctification. Now, folks, don't you understand, sanctification is a result, not an act. It's a result, not an act. And so if you think that through, because the word sanctification literally means to be set apart and equipped for his purpose. That's the literal meaning of sanctification. And so then they took it and said, okay, this is a sinless perfection thing, which that wasn't originally there either. Like I always tell people, John Wesley was not a Wesleyan. I don't think John Calvin was a Calvinist, but I really, people have brought these things out. But I will tell you that John Wesley was not a Wesleyan as it's described. I've read his stuff. And he believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, he didn't say you had to speak in tongues or be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something that got worked in another way. But all of a sudden, you know what happened? People stopped seeking the Holy Spirit. They did. They stopped. They just gave it up because, man, don't want to be like those weirdos, right? Those weirdos over here, I don't know, Pentecostals, like those. It's like, here we are in a community church with I already know kind of where a lot of people are at, right? But we're at a place where we discuss these things and we actually go through them. And so, somebody can come in and say, oh, I'm a Calvinist and we don't like throw them out. Or I'm a Wesleyan, we don't throw them out. Armenian, I'm question that one. But if we look at this and we just go, come on, we can discuss this stuff, but let's not be afraid of what God might have for us. And also, let's not miss something because a bunch of idiots do stupid stuff. Okay? There are a bunch of idiots out there. There are. I mean, yeah, it's some nutty, goofy things. And one of the things that happens, guys, I was involved the whole time, and I'm giving you a little background here, because the reason, and I'm a little bit of repentance today. I know I'm supposed to be preaching this thing more often, and I ended up in a thing where excess was horrible. A lot of you guys are probably familiar with the Toronto Renewal. You might not know that we were actually doing worship for Rodney Howard Brown right before he went to Toronto. And he asked us, you know, it was this big thing, and of course it kind of got out of control, and all of a sudden people were barking like dogs and acting like they were lifting their legs on fire hydrants and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But the reality is people do stupid stuff, okay? And he went off clear out of bounds doctrinally. But when I knew him, he just got here from South Africa. He asked us if we'd go do his worship at Madison Square Garden with him. And I just felt something's wrong. Something is really wrong. Well, it went really wrong. And that is a big part of what Birth DNA are, which you guys can go back and see the Heralds of Heresy series and go through that. But that's a big part of what birthed that. Although it's really back to the Latter Rain, William Branham, which is a whole other bunch of heresy. But again, I'll talk about all that later, but here's the thing. We shouldn't be afraid of what God has because somebody might have abused it or didn't abuse it or something like that. Or we say, okay, I'm just going to stay safe. I'm going to stay at this level. I'm going to keep some distance. We should be willing to look at it scripturally. And I believe the scriptures I just gave you. Now, you know, I don't tell you ever to base your beliefs on experience. In fact, that's one of the things that some of those NAR brothers do and you should not do. But I do want to tell you about my experience. And it is this. I came to the Lord when I was 15, not in a Christian family. And it wasn't a bad family. I mean, and they probably, if you'd asked them, maybe they said, oh, yeah, we're Christians because we're Americans or something like that. I don't know. But when I came home and said I gave my life to Jesus, my dad looked at me like, it's over. He's completely lost it now. So anyway, I'm in this thing, and I got saved. I was on fire for the Lord. I really was. I went out there, and I was in this church that just kept telling us, if you're having a problem, you try harder. You try harder. You try harder. You try harder. You just read your Bible more. You just do all this stuff. And it wasn't really working. I was reading my Bible like a crazy person, okay? And I was sitting there, you know, I was praying a lot. And I went through, but see, God was calling me to something, and I was saying, no, Lord, I won't go. I was not willing to be, I knew I was supposed to leave and go preach, and I was going to stay there and do things. And so I was not willing to be emptied of self, which, again, is one of the biggest parts of this, to be filled with the Spirit, to be emptied of self, not to just ask God to come along with what you're doing. And so anyway, this went on for years, 8 of them. And I went steadily downhill, and that's what I often refer to as my prodigal years. And I hit kind of a rock bottom. Well, like 8 times I hit rock bottom, then I found a new rock bottom. I ended up coming to the place where I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll be anything you want me to be. And I actually got out of that life that I'd been in, and I started ministering again, but it still was really hard, okay? I mean, I just had so much of these crazed temptations to just go with the world, and it was just eating me up. See, I loved my job, man. I was selling lumber, and I loved it. I loved it. I'd stay till late. I'd go early. Even if I was off, I was trying to sell lumber to people. I lived it. And then once kind of, you know, got my act together some, I rented a room because I'd rented out. I had this fourplex I just had people partying in, and I got out of there, and I rented this basically an attic from a lady downtown in Juneau. And she had this little kid, maybe 6 years old, I don't remember. But he'd come upstairs a lot and talk to me, and I was talking to him about the Lord and about what had happened in my life and everything else. And he was, you know, just visiting, and then he started to speak some really amazing things to me. I mean, just like I was just sitting there going, wow. And all I can tell you is it was like the room lit up. And, I mean, just the weight of the Spirit of God. Because when you've been walking and you're in sin, that's a crushing weight until you let Him set you free. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there and I came out of this. And I went, what happened? You know, what just happened? Well, I'll tell you this. I went to my office the next morning and I did not want to be there. I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand one more minute of it, even though it was, I'd loved it the day before. I didn't want to do all the junky, stupid stuff I'd wanted to do before. I all of a sudden could only think about serving Jesus. And I went in and told my dad, who was not a believer yet, I'm leaving the business and I'm going to go off and serve Jesus. Well, I said I'm going to go to college because I thought that's what you did, right? So I'm going to go off to college and Bible college and then go out and serve Jesus. And my dad thought that people who went to college were people who didn't want to work four more years of their life, and people who went into ministry just didn't want to work at all. That was pretty much the thing. So now I tell him I'm going to go to college for the ministry. It wasn't probably the biggest moment of his life. But I was so messed up before that he actually looked at me and said, well, that religion thing helps some people, son. So kind of had his backing there. But the reality of that was that I believe what happened there, even though I didn't know how to define it because nobody was telling us. Remember, see, it says, you know, have you received the Spirit since you believe? They said, we have not so much have heard of the Holy Spirit, right? And I hadn't, because in the situation I was in and the teaching I had received, that wasn't a part of it, right? It was kind of all about your will and just how hard you tried. And so I can look back now and tell you that that moment I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know what it was at the time, right? And there's been an argument that these scriptures I read to you don't apply anymore because the fact is they didn't have the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We have the teaching of the Holy Spirit now, and therefore nobody's going to say, we've not so much as heard of this Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. I had been in a church for 8 years and heard passing references to the Holy Spirit, but I had not so much heard really about the Holy Spirit. I mean, this was the moment. And you know what? It never changed. That's a lot of years ago now, guys, decades, when I went from being this guy who was trying harder than anyone I know and failing, and all of a sudden, it was easy. It made sense. That, guys, when we talk about all this battles about the holiness movement and everything else, that's actually the real holiness message. It just got lost along the way because we didn't want to be like them doggone Pentecostals, right? The Assembly of God split off from the Nazarenes, and all of a sudden that was a big thing. You know, the Nazarenes used to be quite lively. Hard to believe now, but they did. And then when they took off, the Pentecostals part took off, they said, well, we don't want to be anything like them. We're not going to raise our hands. We're not going to do those things. It's a flagrant display of emotion. That was the term. Flagrant display of emotion. I know a lady in a church in Edmonton, Alberta, who got kicked out of her church for smiling too much. It's a true story. It's called a flagrant display of emotion. And if you're ever up there with some of those churches, you find out that's just there. They sit there like this. I tell jokes and they just look at me. That's the German Church of God up there, which they're kind of extreme on that way. But anyway, folks, just what I'm saying here is just because maybe you have been a believer for a long time, this was the difference. I went at that point and I sat down that night and I wrote a song. That's why I have this thing here. And I'm going to see, I played through a little bit of it yesterday, but then I thought I wasn't going to do this, so I didn't play through it much. So we'll see. So see how this goes. And, you know, I'm sitting up there and this little kid's there. And I just grabbed my guitar. And I had not written much in the way of Christian songs for a long time at that point. I was in a pretty dark spot. But this was the difference, I think. So. But I know that you're still around, 'cause I never could have made it alone. No, there's not much left in my life of which I can still be sure. And Lord, I know how hard you tried, but I never really opened the door.
I know how much I hurt you, Lord, every time I fall. I keep trying to give you half of my life, but I know, oh, you want it all. Every time I cause you pain, well, you know I feel all of your tears. Least I can do is give you my life, 'cause I know, Lord, you gave me yours. Still I keep holding back from you, and yet you hold nothing from me. Why am I so blind to the truth when your love is so easy to see? I've been so cruel to you, and yet you've been so fair. I've caused nothing but pain for you, but you say, hey, hey, you just don't care. 'Cause all you want is me to slow down and stop running from you, just to do what you ask me to do. Start living by the truth I already know. Turn around and stop wasting time to live my life by your will, not mine. And when you call my Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go.
Many times Christ calls on us and we just turn him away. We're waiting for words, but we're just waiting for the words that we want him to say. But Jesus said, put it all aside, and only then can you follow me. And that's the way, it's the only way you'll ever really be free. I'll slow down and stop running from you. I want to do what you ask me to do. I'll start living by the truth I already know. I'll turn around and stop wasting time. I'll live my life by your will, not mine. And when you call my Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go. My Jesus, I'll go. Bless you, Lord. And it was a very short period of time before I was on a ferry boat headed down south to follow the Lord wherever he led. And ultimately, it led here. And along the way, I did end up involved with some groups that lived on, you know, what happened was doctrine suddenly didn't matter. And all that mattered all of a sudden, you guys remember these times, right? And I realized that, man, I've hitched my wagon with a really crazy group. And the reason they were crazy was not because of stuff that was happening, not because what we talk about in manifestations, things like that. The reason they were crazy is they were leaving the scripture behind. And all of a sudden, the gospel, and I even had people say, you don't need the word if you have the spirit. And that was a big thing in this whole deal. And it just started going down that train. And when you tried to bring correction, they're like, oh, you're quenching the spirit. And you tried to read a scripture that was against it, oh, you're quenching the spirit. This became a huge thing. And I mean, a big thing. And actually, it was a crushing, crushing time. And so I got to the place. This is my moment of repentance. I got to the place where I just didn't want to go there anymore. Honestly, just so many flakeball, whack-headed people and all the infighting. But you know what? There shouldn't be, because the scripture is very clear on this subject. It is not vague. They did not assume. Now, somebody could be infilled with the Holy Spirit right when they're saved, certainly, because they asked them that. Said, have you received the Spirit since you believed? They could, but it wasn't assumed. And I want to tell you that I don't believe that I did until after I'd been saved for 8 years. And I was, you know, I couldn't get away from the Lord because the Lord doesn't let you go. But I was sure trying to run. And the power of God, the power of God. And all of a sudden I realized it wasn't about trying harder. It was really about trusting in the power of God. It was really about trusting in the power of God. But the enemy is so clever. He's so clever. He gets people to fear the things of God. He does. He gets you to fear the things of God. You go, I don't know what will happen. Who cares? Okay. I mean, who cares what happens? And then, of course, like I say, they institutionalize it. Like you got a problem in your neck, we drop a spare tire on your head. They institutionalize it by going, you know what? Everybody come up here and we have this system. I remember in the renewal groups, the big thing was, we don't believe in tradition, that tradition stuff. That's what's ruining the church, everything else. And I had some friends there. I said, you guys are the most traditional people I've ever met in my life. I said, you've got to do everything a certain way. There's a formula. You go up there and you have this thing, and then you have your people come up front for the ministry time. At the end, somebody preaches and pretends like they're drunk, which is not what was happening at Pentecost, and that's wrong. And so all of a sudden, they're doing this thing, and then they come up, and of course, a whole bunch of people line up, and then there's catchers behind them and the whole deal, and then they all know what's going to happen. I said, you guys are the most traditional people I've ever seen in my life. Okay? And the same people keep falling down, and their life is not changing. Do you know that one time I was praying for a lady in Houston, Washington, and she was kneeling at an altar, and I often have people kneel because, you know, why not? And we're sitting in a chair. We don't need all the, you know, we're not really going for the circus atmosphere, okay? But if God does something crazy, great, you know, that's fine. Well, this gal, this is in a church that had never seen anything like this, and I was not a guy who went in and preached, oh, you might fall into the Holy Spirit, although I have no problem with the fact that sometimes you're so overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, you just go out. But I was praying for this lady. And she just went out. She was just laying there, right? Now, this church had never seen anything like this, so they're thinking about calling an ambulance. And I just went, you know what? She's fine. Lord's working on her. Well, we had a potluck right there in the same room afterwards, and everybody's just stepping over her body. And you know, they're just like, no big deal. Everybody having their normal conversation. It's just kind of really natural, this normal thing. Well, she, about the middle of this thing, she gets up and sprints. I mean, I'm telling you, just jumped up and ran as fast as she could out the door. And I went, okay, that's different. But she came back for the evening service. And she came in and I said, what was that about? You know? And she testified to it during the service that for a long time she had been living with her boyfriend. And they were in sin, because typically with cohabitation comes other stuff. And she said, and the Lord convicted her of it. When she was down on the floor, she got up, ran to the apartment, threw everything she had in her car, and was now living in her car. And I said, that doesn't just happen. I hadn't preached a message on that or anything like that. That was the Holy Spirit of God working through conviction in her life and her heart. And I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it lays everything bare. And you might find, you know, it's hard. But it is the way to true power and freedom. Acts 19, oh, I already did that one. Sorry. Going here. Luke 11, 9 through 13 says this. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, look at what he's talking about when we get there here. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, all that stuff before there, he's talking about, he's leading up to that. Would you give your son a scorpion? Would you do this? Here's the thing, guys. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to. It's not a, look at this, what it says right here. Everyone, seek, knock, for everyone who asks, received, and he who seeks, finds. Now, I only know one definition for the word everyone. Maybe somebody can go, oh, in the Greek, that doesn't mean everyone, but it means everyone. Okay. It means that just means Pentecostal people, right? No, it's everyone. And guys, this is the message virtually inherent to virtually every major revival that's ever rolled through, because it was the Holy Spirit. There's this thing, and we think it's weird, but there's historically John Wesley and Charles Finney, they'd be preaching in front of a whole bunch of people and a whole bunch of them would just collapse. I heard Gerald Wilson, a Canadian preacher, and he said, you know when I know when it's real? And I like this, and some people probably disagree with me, but he said, they don't have catchers. Amen. And the fact is, if God's going to have something happen to you, he's not going to get you hurt. And you know, Gerald Wilson, I had a friend that went to some of his revivals there, and he did this, and he said they had him falling off the side of the stage and all kinds of stuff. Nobody got hurt. Hey, I don't know. Sometimes God does weird stuff, okay? But the fact is that if it's all set up, it's all set up, that's what ruins things. If there are assumptions about what God has to or is going to do, it ruins things. If we try to institutionalize it like dropping a tire on your head, then that institutionalization will just get messed up and all you'll do is end up hurting people, honestly. Because also, just because God does a certain thing at a certain time doesn't mean he'll do it again. He'll do something different, maybe. He'll do something a different way. But we keep quenching the Spirit by institutionalizing what God does. And then by thinking that we can get enough intellectual knowledge to propel us to where God wants us to be. And I like studying. I like knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. You got to be careful. The fact of the matter is, we need the Holy Spirit of God, my friends. I came in here today and I look back and I think that the powers of hell itself were trying to keep me from preaching this. So I really think that there are those here that really need to hear this. And if I simply ask the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Can you answer that and say, yep. Because here's the other thing, though. One way or another, you should keep seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the other thing that goes wrong. I believe there is a first time. Could be at salvation. Could be later. But then you're not supposed to do what a lot of people do. Well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1961. Because the goal is to be filled and be poured out and be filled and be poured out and be filled and be poured out. That's what's supposed to happen. But there is a first time. And sometimes I think a lot of believers are walking through their entire life without the true power of the Holy Spirit. And that is tragic. Because that, guys, is the ball game. When we say, how then shall we live? That's the ball game. When we ask that question, if I'm going to try to get a whole bunch of non-spirit-filled people to be holy, and here again I say the word spirit-filled, a lot of people go, oh, tongues. Maybe. But you don't go and seek a gift. You don't go and seek these things. You seek the Lord. You seek He who gives things, and then you don't demand and say, well, you have to do this or else I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, I just want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's that simple. And he says, everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. To him who knocks. And I'm saying today, maybe there's a number of us, myself included, who need to be knocking, who need to be seeking, who need to say, Lord, I am going into the Holy of Holies. Even if all the arrows of the devil are being shot at me from every side, I am going into the Holy of Holies. I am not settling for the outer court. I want everything that you have for me. And I want to be effective and used for you. And so, God, your word says, be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a beauty one. You don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the secret? It says it. Walk in the Spirit. And that means you don't go back and say, hey, I was in 1961. Or we go, I was sanctified in 1961. Haven't sinned yet since, except for lying. And you go, come on, just redefine sin. Man, sin is just our rebellion against God. And folks, I'll tell you what, I don't want to rebel against God, but I'll tell you this too. I cannot get above sin without the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, I can discipline myself to avoid doing some bad things. Maybe because I don't want to go to jail or something, you know. That's not a changed heart. Changed heart comes from the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, 1 and 2, which you've heard many times. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you think that happens, guys? A really good Bible college, you know. They're going to transform you by the renewing of your mind. They might be able to teach you something. There are good Bible colleges. But you're not going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's no formula for that. Okay? There's no formula for it. You can't go to the right church long enough and all that kind of stuff to be just suddenly transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is an act of the Holy Spirit. And when I say you need to be willing to be emptied of self, that's what he's saying here. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the willingness to be emptied of yourself in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we might be sanctified, which means to be set apart and equipped for his purpose. And that is a goal, guys. And then, since you're filled with the Spirit, so walk in the Spirit. And don't just go, hey, I got filled that time. I was filled. And I've had people, so many people tell me that. I was filled with the Spirit in 1941, and they're just horrible people. And I go, you know what? You got, yeah, 41, way back when. Okay, let's go 60s, 65. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1965, and you know what? It was amazing. And then I go, well, you're probably like poured out in 2 days, and since then you've just been dry as a bone. Okay? There is a need to pursue the Lord and pursue the Holy Spirit. But folks, I'm going to stop rambling. Because I will just keep rambling on this and we'll actually teach you more of the nitty-gritty later on. But I want to ask this question today because it doesn't need to all be defined. It doesn't need to all be understood. That's one of the places we go so wrong in our walk is thinking we have to understand everything all the time. Because God is so much bigger than us. I'll just tell you this. God wants to ask the question, have you received the Spirit since ye believed? I just want to take a minute and let's just be silent before the Lord for a moment and just ponder that question. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Jesus. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, Father. Let's stand together. Just... sing a couple songs a cappella, and I just want to invite you, if you're here and you say, I just want Some of you pray for me that I'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you just feel free to come up. And I would hope in the future that, I've said this many years ago because it was before I got burned and got kind of burned out, I would say that our altar calls to be filled with the Holy Spirit ought to be as prevalent as our altar calls for salvation. And I think that God's people, we just really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, O Lord, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, O Lord, for Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted high above all gods. We exalt You, Lord. We exalt Thee. We exalt Thee. We exalt Thee. Oh, exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, O Lord. Father, we pray for just the sweep of Your Holy Spirit here, Lord. So even as we continue to sing, I pray that You would just fall on lives, Lord God. God, I just come right here and pray for healing and mercy right here, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God, just Your healing touch, Lord, move through in Jesus' name. Oh, God, just Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Strength and healing in Jesus' name. Strength and healing in Jesus' name. Oh, God. Amen. Healing in Jesus' name. God bless. Love You too, man. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You're beautiful, and Your face is all I seek. For when Your eyes are on this child, Your grace abounds to me. Lord, please light the fire. Oh, Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace
of my first love that burns with holy fear.
I sense the Lord. It's awesome when you open up. And again, this is a little bit of a message of repentance for me. And I sat this morning thinking, okay, how am I going to end this? I know how I ended things in the old days, and I know that there's ways that we could coerce things to happen. But I think that the most important lesson from today is that this is where we're headed, guys. Okay, as a church, as a people, we have got to go there. We have to. That we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, because otherwise I'm just a guy coming in here every Sunday and telling you how you ought to be. You know, talking to myself too and telling myself how I ought to be. And constantly facing the same battles over and over and over again. The battles that the Lord wants to set you free from. He wants to deliver you. He doesn't just want you to be able to discipline yourself enough to make it. He wants to deliver you by the power of His Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, you've got to release all fear. Be honest about fear that it will expose the sin in your life, because that's a reasonable fear. But you got to overcome that and say, I want the things of God no matter what. I want the things of God no matter what it takes. I want the things of God no matter what it costs. I want the things of God no matter what it reveals to me. I want the things of God if it reveals to me I've been wrong my whole last 30 years. I want the things of God to so permeate my life that I will have a greater love for your word. Not that I will forget your word, because a true infilling of the Holy Spirit takes us to his word. And we begin to love it more than we've ever loved it. We begin to wake up in the morning. You know, I've asked for many times, there just seems to be a number of people who just wake up every morning. And I can honestly say this to me, not every morning, but I mean most mornings, that wake up and think, what does God want from me today? When they face a situation, they think, what would God have me do here? And then there's a whole bunch of professing believers who don't do that. And when you're in the place where you do that, you realize you can't not do that. I mean, I really want a lot of times to just go live on an island somewhere. Okay? And I can't, because God keeps telling me to do things. Well, how come some believers are like that and some believers aren't? I honestly believe it is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. People want to say calling, but you know what? I have some specific callings on my life. That isn't the point. If I didn't have those callings, it would be something else that God would have me do, having to do with my neighbor or whatever, or something along that way. Because God wants every single one of us to be like that. We get up in the morning and I just we say, what does God want me to do? And then we begin to believe and we seek His Holy Spirit, and He empowers us to do those things because we've put ourselves aside. We've been willing to be emptied of self, like that gal who was laying on the floor over there in Houston, Washington. And she said, you know what? Not what I want, Lord, what you want. Not my will, but your will. No matter what it costs me, no matter what it takes, I am pressing into the Holy of Holies. And so the most important thing that can come out of this today is that it becomes part of the fabric of who we are. To not fear, but to ask the question, have you received the Spirit since you believed? Such an important question. Other guys, again, I'm just a guy up here trying to talk people into being good. That's a pretty empty ministry, really. People be good for a while and go, oh, I'm doing so great. Then they fall off a cliff. And then you're wandering around saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I've been preaching so good for the last 3 weeks. No. Ultimately, it's about the Holy Spirit. You know how serious I am about the Word of God. But if you want to really understand the Word of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a great interpreter. So, oh Lord, I confess, God, that I don't even know what I'm doing here today. Lord, I just pray, God, that whatever it is that you want to sink in will sink in. And God, that we will embark on this this journey where we've just, I think, had the boat strapped to the dock for too long. And because it's safe to be strapped to the dock, I think we just need to throw aside those ropes and God move forward in you. And I don't think that can happen unless we're willing to go out on the storm. And I know you're the one that calms the storms. We need to launch the boat from the dock, Lord. And so, God, show us how to do that. Show me what you want. Show us how, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, oh God. We cry out to you, Lord. And we do not fear the result of that. We long for it. Let not the enemy blind the eyes of your people, that he would be bound in the name of Jesus, and that your truth and your spirit would go forth, that your power and your might, that your people would have that transformation that leads to the transformation of others, Lord God. We just give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. And amen. And I hope everybody goes home and thinks about this a lot and prays about it a lot. So.